Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Ephesians. So get close to your radio and bring your Bible now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Come on, help me. Thank you so kindly. I really appreciate you helping me. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you something since you helped me. Amen. Put these bands on your hand there. God bless you. Amen. Yeah, put one on your other hand over there so it won't be jealous. And didn't give me one. All right. Now, I just gave you three bands. Now, let's say those three bands are gifts coming from me. But how would you behave if you find out that those three bands are three snakes? Yes, how would you behave? How would you be? I mean, what you gonna do? You gonna leave them there? You're not gonna go back and get them? Why? Let me give them to you. Come give these to her. You don't want to give to it? What about you, brother? Not if they snake. Anybody want to help her get it back to her and put it on her wrist? She didn't want these because they are dangerous. Now, that's what he's saying. When he says pull it off, he's saying leave it off. Don't go back there and get it. See, many of us, we'll pull it off for a while, and then we got it in reserve, and we'll bring it back out. You see? He's saying, look at this stuff in your life, that former manner of life, all that corruption. He says, look at that like that. That's poison. All right. Now, he told us to put on something. Let me give you, you've been so nice, sister. Put this watch on. Yeah. I want to give her something. It's just in my heart to give her something. Now, let's say that watch there is valued $100 million. How would you behave if you know that watch is valued $100 million? All right. You're not going to throw it down like you're not going to take it out. You're going to hold on to it. Okay. She's going to hold on to that. Now, when the Bible says for us to put on, that's what it's saying. Put it on and keep it on. Keep it on because what you got is invaluable. It's irreplaceable. You can't replace this. The righteousness and holiness of God. It says, put that on. One of the ways you know a child of God is a child of God has the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes in your life, he makes you holy. When you got the Holy Ghost, then you got a ghost that's holy living on the inside of you. Holiness and righteousness. So he told us to put off something, told us to put on something, but he told us to put away something. Told us to put away something. Did you notice that? Told us to put away all that lying and stealing, what have you. Told us to put that away. Now, sister, let's say this is a lit black book. This is your lit black book. And it's got all the dirt about you in this book. It goes all the way back to your childhood, your teenagehood. It's got four or five pages now in your adulthood. I mean, it's got all the dirt. And if any of this ever get out, you'll be, I mean, just totally embarrassed. You'll have to just move out of the world. If any of this got out. What would you do with this lit black book? You would burn this up. She said she would get rid of this thing. She would burn this up. That's what he's saying when he said put away. He's saying get rid of it. You got to put off something if you're going to be a Christian. Put on something and then put away something. When you put something off, you don't go back and get it. When you put it on, you keep it. When you put it away, it stay away. Amen. Give that sister a hand. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Can you get my $1 million watch off? All right. Now, let me give a little clarification where it says here in verse 26. Because he tells us in 25, wherefore putting away this line, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That's what the Bible says. You can be angry, but don't take it to the point of sinning. Let's look at an illustration of that, because a lot of time folks done curse people out, folks done talked about them. To me, they done put the former manner of life back on. They done put the old person back on, but then they would justify that with that scripture. Say, well, the Bible said that we could be angry. Yeah, but it also said, and don't sin. So let's take a look at that. Do anybody need some help on that, or do we need to move on? Anybody need some help? You want to know what that, an example? You want to see an example of that? Huh? Go ahead. Just say, go ahead, Pastor. Okay, all right. Y'all talk me into it. Mark, the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, verse 5. This is what Jesus was there in the synagogue. Let's just pick up the context. Can we pick up the context? Starting verse number 1, it says, and he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a paralyzed hand. Is everybody with me? Mark chapter 3, verse number 2. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man who had the paralyzed hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Here it is. And when he had looked around about on them with what?
Anger.
With what?
Anger.
With what?
Anger.
Who looked at them with anger?
Jesus
looked at them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as sound as the other. Now, that's a case in point of being angry but didn't sin. You see? So often, we get angry and we let the person know that we're angry with, that I'm mad at you. Why y'all looking at me like this? Huh? See, when we find out somebody got a problem with us, rather than us staying focused on the business at hand, we'll lay the business at hand aside and say, wait a minute, I'll be back. Let me take care of this right over here right now. We need to go on and settle this thing right now. We get angry and we let the folks know that we're angry. See, you need to be angry, but don't nobody need to know you're angry but you. Did nobody in the room know that Jesus was angry but Jesus? And notice now, he separated the person from the sin. And that's what you got to do. You got to be mad at the sin, not mad at the person. And the reason we go off on the person is because we get mad at the person rather than getting mad at the sin of the person. You got to split the two. You got to separate the... When I was in seminary and we was learning about conflict management, the first law of conflict management is you got to separate the people from the problem. Because when people come in there, they got the problem all mixed up and they wrapped up and tangled all up in the problem. So you got to separate the people from the problem and attack the problem, not the people. And that's how you can be angry and sin not. Because you're focused on the problem and not the people. If you ever focus on the problem rather than the people, you won't sin when you get angry. Is everybody with me, by the way? All right. All right. Now, can we go on to something else? Can we go on to something else? Say, go on then, Pastor. All right. Then, look what he says, verse 28. Let him, and I want you to notice these lets. And I want you to underline every time you see the word let. Verse number 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let. Somebody say let. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. See, you can control it. You can't control the sun, but you can do something before the sun go down. Amen. This one principle have kept my wife and I in love and harmony. We practice this one verse. We don't go to bed at night being angry. Have you ever tried sleeping next to somebody that you're mad with? Man, that's a bad feeling. That's torture. No, we got to get out of this bed and we got to go on and apologize. Amen. Go on and apologize. Let's get this right. Before we go to bed, let's get it right. Amen. And ever since Al Green had them hot grits stowed on him, no, I said, I ain't going to bed mad at somebody. I don't even want somebody to even think I'm mad at them. No. No. I mean, because sometimes folks will wait till your eyes is closed. See, you don't know what's going on when your eyes is closed. They could have done called the voodoo priest in there and throw voodoo around your bed. You better go on and get it right before the sun go down. Amen. Amen. Because we're living in a day and age that people are malicious. They do stuff with a vengeance today. Man, when you throw hot grits on somebody, that's a vengeance. You see why that brother sung that song? Love, I make you do right. Love, I make you do wrong. He had one of them sisters that how kind of love made her do wrong? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That was before y'all day. So that was back in the day. That brother started preaching after that, didn't he? All right, let's get back on our lesson here. Watch this. Look what he says. Neither give place to the devil. Because, see, when you let the sun go down on your wrath, It's amazing how many bad thoughts that start coming in your mind. The devil, he'll take that magnifying glass, give you a magnifying glass, and you'll start putting that magnifying glass on people. Yes, you will. Everything they've done. You see what she said? You see how she said that? You just blow everything up. That magnify, so you shut the door right quick on the devil. Just shut that door. Apologize. Get it on over with. Amen. Amen. And look what the Bible says. Let, somebody say let, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Now notice he says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. When you're out there in the world, you're always stealing. Oh, you've been stealing. Somebody stole some time at work. You weren't working. Talking about you was, well, I was witnessing, child, you know. I didn't mean to stay out so long. But see, this sister out there, she needed to be witnessed too. Done took an extra 30 minutes on a 15-minute break. Talking about you a Christian. That, you see why folks don't want to follow you to church? Paul said, stop that stealing. That's stealing. But rather let him labor with his hand, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that's needed. You want to know how to get out of debt? Listen. This is going to revolutionize a lot of people's life if you get this. The best way to get out of debt is go to work. I'm trying to help you. The Bible says, listen. Look at that verse good. It says, go to work that you'll be able to give. You see? See, one of our problems is if we keep trying to get into these get-rich-quick schemes. No, just work. Get yourself out of debt. And when folks need something, you'll be able to have something to give. Stay with something long enough. Stay with it. We start something, and because we ain't done, you know, we're not driving this car that we want to drive, I need to change, get me another job. No, just stay with that, man. Save your money. Don't spend everything you get. Amen. I was trying to help somebody this evening. Look what it says, let him who stole. And then it says, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to those who hear. Verse 29, let. See that word, let. You can make it happen. Amen. You can make it happen. Rather than just watching things happen, you can make some things happen. Amen. All right, so walk in newness. Then he told us first how not to walk. But finally, he tells us to walk by the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom ye were sealed until the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't make the Holy Ghost sad. See, we often try to please everybody else. We often please the wrong people. We try to impress our enemies. Yes, we do. Folks, they go to work and work all week long, and then on Friday, they go and get the paycheck so that they can do some shopping on Saturday and spend up all their money on a dress or a suit so that they can impress their enemy at church on Sunday. We're trying to impress the wrong crowd. We're trying to impress folks that's hating on you. Ah! You ought to impress somebody who loves you. See, if everybody in this church, tell me, Pastor, you preach good on Sunday, but my wife said, it was all right. Boy, that done made me mad. I want her to be happy. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to work a little harder that she could, ooh, you made me proud. Bitter. Say no. You see what I'm saying? If I'm going to impress somebody, I'm going to impress the ones that I love. Amen. The one I love the most, that's who I'm trying to impress. I'm trying to impress Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what he's saying in the text. He says, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't forget about the Holy Ghost in this thing. As you are relating to the people out there in the world, don't act like them. You need to walk in newness, and don't forget about the Holy Ghost. You out there in the world, you got the Holy Ghost with you. Amen. So if the world is watching a bad movie, and you sit down and watch a bad movie right there with them, guess what you just done? You may be high-fiving you and your worldly friend, but the Holy Ghost says, you're grieving the Holy Ghost. How do we grieve the Holy Ghost? It's when we put on that old world again. When we put that lying back on, that cheating back on, that backbiting back on. When we start acting like we used to act out there in the world. When our past is becoming our presence all over again. We're grieving the Holy Ghost. You know, one of the thrills of victories and the agonies of defeat is parenting. When you are parenting, there are some good times and there are some bad times when you are parenting. And one of the things that used to grieve me about my boys, particularly Timothy, when he got in there, about 11th grade, he wanted to start sagging, you know, kind of want to, and it wasn't really sagging, he just wanted to kind of, you know, have big pants and kind of have them down just a little bit right there, you know, it's kind of trying to fit in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And every boy, I couldn't hardly eat my breakfast when I would see him. Oh, man. I mean, you know, and he trying to walk and be cool and stuff. You know, he trying to sag and, oh, man. And, you know, you don't want to just seem like you just bashing your children every time they walk in the room and you got something negative to say about how they, you know, dressed and stuff. But, oh, they used to just, sometimes I would have to leave the table and just run in there and pray. Help me, Jesus. Please help me, Jesus. Because my spirit was grieved when I saw him. You know, whenever we are acting like that old man out in the world,
if you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen, because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.